Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and I'm excited today. We're actually going to be discussing later on in the show, we'll be discussing representing high profile clients. And we got a lot of high profile guests here today. We're excited to have them. We have Joe Hibachi here with Hibachi Law. Good morning. How are you? I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. He is a criminal and entertainment lawyer. We have John Ali with Cohen, Cooper, Estep & Allen, LLC. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Wonderful, except for the rain.
I know. Well, at least it's not snowing. That's better.
That is better.
And she also does criminal, and entertainment law. We have Randy Kessler again back for more.
Good to be back.
You can't resist, can you?
Yeah, no, you guys are great.
And he is with Kessler and Solomiani. And we will have Josie Cruz here joining us in just a bit. So I'll go ahead and start. First, I want to say that Atlanta Legal Experts has been brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere, and by 3A Law Practice Management. They help lawyers start and grow their practice. And you can find their information on our website at atlantalegalexperts.com. So we'll start with Joe Hibachi.
Sorry. You can call me Jabo.
I'm a little tongue twisted here. He is an accomplished and well-respected Georgia trial lawyer. He has been privately practicing criminal defense and entertainment law in and around Atlanta, Georgia, for more than 14 years. His principal office is in Atlanta, but he represents clients in state courts in every part of Georgia and federal courts nationwide. Joe is often asked to speak at trial practice seminars, both criminal and entertainment, to share his knowledge and experience with other lawyers in Georgia. He has been a panelist at numerous law school seminars, is a regular speaker on local radio, and a regular visiting judge for national and international mock trial competitions. He graduated cum laude from Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, and the University of Georgia School of Law. And he currently is the vice president of the Atlanta chapter, Georgia Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. He has represented thousands of criminal defendants on diverse criminal matters, ranging from DUI to drug trafficking. He is also well known in the field of entertainment law and has represented countless celebrity clients on entertainment and criminal matters. That's why we're here today, huh?
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little more about the criminal cases that you handle.
Well, I've been practicing criminal law for about 14 years, and I don't really limit it to the types of cases. I mean, they range from anything from DUI, like you said, DUI, drug trafficking. I've done plenty of murder cases, violent felonies, things like that. Mm. But then the courts range as well. I mean, anything from municipal court, state court, superior court, federal court. So I really don't limit it.
Right. Right. And there's some current issues that you're seeing in criminal defense. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Well, I think current issues, I mean, there's certainly issues ranging from, you know, DUIs have changed, and I don't mm-hmm. consider myself a quote unquote DUI lawyer. There's a lot of lawyers that exclusively practice DUIs. I know you have a lot of them on here mm-hmm. regularly. So I won't take the steam away, but I know that in the, you know, on the DUI front, there's a lot of things changing. There's forced blood draws going on in a couple of counties around the metropolitan area. That's kind of changed the game.
Right.
And, you know, there's developing issues on search and seizure. There's developing issues on forfeiture law. That's kind of become a forefront of criminal practice right now, in my opinion, particularly in federal court, where forfeitures have kind of gotten, you know, a little bit more common. You know, ancillary to criminal cases, and sometimes not even ancillary to criminal cases. I mean, just completely without any charges, and people
right.
just having property and money and assets seized. So there's definitely some developing fronts, but otherwise, it's representing people that are charged with criminal offenses.
So tell me a little more about legalization.
Legalization of
yes.
marijuana?
That, yes. That's
well,
in here.
I haven't been following the legislature on that in Georgia has been, you know, it was kind of brought up last year, and then my understanding of it is that it never made it to the Senate. I'm not sure exactly where it kind of fell apart, but
gotcha.
My understanding of the current proposal is that it's just definitely medical marijuana, and it's definitely a CBD product, which is not which has no THC. I think it's less than 5% THC, so it's not a smokable product. It's an oil.
Gotcha.
Why'd you want to know, Emily?
Yeah, really.
Well,
it's
in the questions right here. I swear.
So my understanding is the proposal is to bring it to certain classification of medical conditions.
Gotcha.
In other words, you know, my understanding is in California, even something as small as anxiety would entitle you to a prescription. And it's pretty clear that in Georgia, at least right now, that's not happening. It's going to be limited to kind of very serious conditions. The list got expanded this year. So my understanding is there's some things on there that weren't on the proposal last year. So there's some things that include like PTSD. But again, this only pertains to oil. And then there's a big mystery about how this is going to be manufactured because it needs to be manufactured within the state of Georgia. But I haven't followed all the back and forth in the legislature. I know a lot of people believe it's going to get passed. You know, I'd like to see something passed. And I would love to see more than that. I would love to see the decriminalization of personal use of marijuana. It's not about, you know, recreational. It's not about medicinal. It's really about reducing the consequences for under an ounce, let's say, of marijuana. I mean, that's been done in states, even in the South. Those things have changed. So the point is that even though that would cost me business, a lot of lawyers would effectively lose business from that. But at the end of the day, it's tragic in my mind to see a lot of people have records and have pretty significant consequences associated with you know, something that could just be a citation with a civil offense.
Right. And you would think the prescription drugs out there that they actually prescribe are way more dangerous if they're overused and
they are. I mean, they are. I mean, you see, you know, and again, I'm not familiar with actual statistics, but you see the number of deaths a year from prescription drugs. There's, you know, I think that there's no deaths from marijuana, frankly. I know there are people that would disagree with me because there are other things that can happen under the influence.
Sure.
But prescription drugs, particularly once you get into painkillers and opiates and things like that, a lot of people move from that into heroin, and that unfortunately that leads to a lot of overdoses and accidental deaths. So it is tragic. I mean, I wouldn't compare one to the other, but at the end of the day, it's troublesome for me. The minimum consequences for marijuana in this state on a misdemeanor level are harsh and they're archaic and they're severe. Mainly they're affecting people's lives in terms of the record that it's creating against those individuals.
Gotcha. So tell me if you could go a little bit into the entertainment law and how that actually marries with your criminal law.
Sure. Happy to. My entertainment practice was actually my first practice. I hung a shingle as an entertainment lawyer thinking that, you know, somehow I was going to get all these celebrity clients and it was going to be a big grand thing. And I learned a quick reality, which was that is a long road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's hard work, of course, involved, but there's some luck involved as well. And so my entertainment practice was really just transactional, but it was hard to get those key clients. And so eventually I started taking criminal cases out of necessity. And frankly, the entertainment practice that I have now was born out of my criminal practice.
Oh.
So, you know, and there is a marriage there because...
So it kind of went around the...
Sure. I mean, I started picking up entertainment clients who were persons I had represented on, you know, small, medium criminal matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately needed representation on a transactional front. So there is a marriage there between, I mean, particular... You know, in the you know, music clients. I mean, I have a lot of music clients. I know Jonna can speak to this as well, where, you know, on one hand, hey, I've got a contract, and then the other hand, hey, can you help me with this marijuana case? You know, or hey, can you help me with my DUI?
Right.
So
more often than not.
Right.
I feel like.
Seems like it. Yeah.
A lot of crossover.
I won't say who the client was, obviously, but years ago I was in court and I saw a client I had done a record deal for who was fairly well known and had a hit single. I was in the Fulton County Superior Court, and he came over to me and said, hey, I know you do criminal defense as well. And I said, yeah, what's going on? I figured he was going to approach me about something relatively insignificant. And sure enough, he said, no, I got a little armed robbery case pending.
Oh, that's nice.
So apparently things had gone downhill for him after he received his initial payout. Didn't I once hear either you or Daryl say that you do criminal defense light?
It is light. You know, you mentioned the bad felony stuff that you do. We don't get into that too much. You know, it may be a simple battery or a simple assault, but no murders. We're not into that. That's a little too heavy. But serious cases in terms, right now we have some high profile pill mill cases. and some healthcare fraud, which these doctors are high profile, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, when it comes to Atlanta anyway, sure. locally. So media is still involved there, and we have to watch out for that. And that's, you know, part of our expertise is dealing with the media. So
let me ask you a question. How did you originally get into what you're doing now?
Passion for music when I was in college.
Yeah.
I think we've
all been there.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. Passion for music when I was in college, and I knew I wasn't going to be a rock star. So,
right.
You were pretty close.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir. You're very kind. And so I just wanted to be in the industry in some way. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to law school really after meeting Joe. Joe was in law school when I was an undergrad in Athens. And it sort of blossomed from there. And I worked with him for just a little bit after undergrad and then went to law school. And here I am.
Sounds like you love it.
I do love it. Awesome. Every day.
She's good at it, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
She's managing a lot of clients. And they've got very high-profile clients that she manages very well and handles the practice while her partner there is vacationing all over the world.
One day.
Yeah, but you too.
Right.
So tell me, what's a good day for you?
A good day is not having a criminal court at 8 a.m.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, that would be good.
Grabbing a latte, maybe going into the office, meeting with a client, an entertainment client, mm-hmm. reviewing a contract for them, negotiating something wonderful on their behalf. And then, you know, maybe a little later having a criminal client, mixing it up a little bit so that it's not the same day every day. And I'm not just pouring over a contract, but, you know, also hopefully protecting their interests and their, you know, their life, their freedom.
Right.
So
that'll make you sleep at night, I think.
Absolutely. And keep you up sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And then a not so good.
8 a.m. 8 a.m. City of Atlanta traffic court.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good. Well, we'll ask you how the listeners can reach you.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm not as plugged in as Mr. Kessler,
but
I think there may be more avenues than for Joe. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Jonna6, Johnna6. Mm-hmm. The website, the law
firm
website.
Are there five other Johnnas in the world?
No, I just...
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
She likes the number.
I just like the number. Yeah. let's see. Our firm's website is ccealaw.com. And you can reach me via email at jlee@ccealaw.com. And I think that's about it.
Where is your firm located?
Sure. We're in Vinings. Okay. Between the Cumberland Mall and Historic Vinings.
Nice.
So pretty easy to get to, mm-hmm. access.
Until the Braves Stadium
free
gets
parking.
Built.
Don't talk about that. Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And of course, we'll be glad to hear from you in just a bit. And I'm going to jump over to Mr. Randall Kessler. Welcome back.
Hi, Emily. Good to be back.
Yeah, so great to have you here again. And you represent family law. You do family law, and you represent some high-profile clients for family law. I'm going to go ahead and read your bio as well, just a little bit here. He is the founding partner of the 14-lawyer Atlanta family law firm known as the KS Family Law. He has practiced family law for over 25 years, former chair of family law sections of the Atlanta Bar Association, the State Bar of Georgia, and the Atlanta Bar Association. And he authored family law books, including
Divorce, Protect Yourself, Your Kids, and Your Future.
Thank you. Divorce, Protect Yourself, Your Kids, and Your Future.
There you go.
Georgia Library of Family Law Forms, and has taught family law at John Marshall Law School in Atlanta since 2005. He is the editor of Next Magazine, a magazine to help people survive divorce, and editor emeritus of the Family Law Review, the official magazine of the Family Law Section of the State Bar of Georgia. So how is it different representing celebrity clients?
You know, it is different, but first I got to say it's an honor to be on with Joe and Jonna. I mean, they are experts. They are younger than me, but they're not young. I mean, they've got the experience, and I've been involved in a case recently with Joe, and it's just wonderful to see, you know, it's sort of like insider trading when you see how people really talk to their clients it's one thing to see them on the news and see them in the press, but when you see somebody talking to the client and saying, this is what you need to do, this is how things work, you learn a lot about how lawyers really are, because the public never knows whether the lawyer is giving good advice, whether the lawyer is just in it for themselves. And these are excellent lawyers that I've been.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our feelings mutual about working with you on this case as well.
Absolutely.
That's true. Well, we're going to call him go-to Joe. He's the go-to guy. Go-to guy. And John, I've gotten to know through her partner, Daryl Cohen, who's a wonderful lawyer and one of the founders, really, of the entertainment law industry in Georgia. And now he deserves to be out there on the beach every
Absolutely.
Now and then.
You know, he's
I think he's put time. In his time, for sure.
He certainly has. But, you know, I don't know that it's different representing celebrities in one way. And I echo a lot of what Jana said. They're real people. They suffer. They bleed. They hurt. The hard part sometimes is getting through the throngs of people that are protecting them. And they need people right. to protect them from the world. But, you know, in my field especially, their protectors may say, stay away from her. She just wants your money. Or stay away from him. He just, you know, he's attracted to you now. But I get through to the real people, and they say, you know what, I don't care what my family says. I love that woman, or I want to be with her. I don't care what they say. And you have to know what the client wants. You know,
right.
In criminal law, you got to defend them. In my law, I don't know what to do until I talk to them. And it's hard sometimes getting through, because they do need to be protected, because everybody wants something from them.
Sure.
You know, I speak a lot for the National Football League Players Association to their financial advisors conference, where you hear about all the people that want to borrow money from somebody, you know, and the players will say, oh, that's my brother-in-law. He just wants to open a barbershop. Voicemail, you know, and they don't mm-hmm. talk to those people, but they'll talk to their lawyers and they'll listen to us. And it's interesting when these people who have the world, you know, in their hand, and they think, you know, the whole world thinks that these people have it made, they come to us and they need us and they need help criminally, you know, in an entertainment law, in their contracts or in their family law. And it's sort of an empowering feeling to be able to say, I'm this little guy who really hasn't been a rock star like John wanted to be, or been a superstar, you know, entertainer, but I can help them. And that really feels mm-hmm. good to be able to help them. My own little niche, I know that I know something about how to get them through. And also, you know, we've all been there with clients years ago that we see, we run into them at Phipps Mall, we run into them at a baseball game. And, you know, I was there with them when, like when Joe ran into his client at the courthouse, sort of a good feeling to say, I helped that person through something that, you know, nobody else shared but me and right. that person. That's sort of a nice little I get a charge out of that, seeing somebody that otherwise is famous just when they're at their realest, you know, moments.
Mm-hmm. This family law is so personal.
It absolutely is. It's
or the family is so personal.
You know, and you see people change. People start off, well, you know, everyone thinks, you know, they're baby mamas that just have sex with athletes for the money. But you know what? They're real people, and people are going to have sex whether it's an athlete or a non-athlete, and they're going to have kids. And the human nature takes over. They're both parents. They both have the same struggles that a high-profile people have.
And then sure. eventually their kids get arrested, and then I end up with them in my office.
That's exactly right. You know, look, there's a lot to be said for, you know, instant wealth. And I don't wish it on anybody. Nobody really has sympathy for these, you know, one-shot wonders. These people have one hit, like your client Joe, or the athletes that make it for a year or two. But I wouldn't trade, you know, their life for any other life, because they're going to be rich for a year or two or three, and the rest of their life they're going to be a has-been. And they're riding on fumes. And it's a very hard situation to have made a few million dollars when you're 19 years old. And then when you're 30, 40, 50, struggling to ever make one tenth of that.
Right.
And you're just not the same person. And a lot of the people that were friends and wannabes and hangers on are not there. It's a difficult life emotionally.
Right. It's the opposite of the normal right. course.
Yeah. People out there that are making $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, you're going to have a better stream of income over your life than the average athlete, because long term, your income is going to go up.
Right. So how did you kind of start representing the entertainment side? Like, did you just kind of fall into it, or?
You know, I give a lot of credit to Atlanta. The city of Atlanta is sort of a, you know, the big fish, small pond kind of thing. We have a big music industry that, you know, the world now knows about. We have a big film industry now that there's a lot of movies being made here. There's just a lot of entertainment in Atlanta. And I used to have a little pet peeve about, you know, athletes that made a lot of money and that didn't pay their child support and they owed a few a few hundred thousand dollars. So I would take on those cases. And most lawyers want to get paid, and I'd like to get paid too, but some of them, it took me 5-10 years before we finally collected, and it would be 10 years after retirement, and we got it from their pension or their retirement plan.
Right.
And so I think word got out, and then some of the hip-hop guys and the athletes would come hire me preventatively to make sure that I didn't get on the other side of the case.
Gotcha. You know? That's smart.
If there wasn't a case pending. And so that sort of, I think, helped spread the word that, you know, you want me on your side. Hopefully, that's the feeling. And And I can't tell you, I'm not a little kid at heart. It's still interesting to see people that have made it from nothing as a reality TV star or whatever it is. And Joe's represented some folks that have been on reality TV, and so has John, that had nothing. And just based on their own hard work, grit, grind, personality, they've made something. And, you know, I admire them for that. And it's sort of nice to be around them and see how they've made themselves, made something of their lives.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick? Not to interrupt your bio here, but do you find also that the, you know, that sort of segment of your practice builds itself because this is a small circle of individuals and they
Absolutely.
Can say, hey, this is a lawyer who will maintain the privacy of your matter and will...
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because we're out there. I'm in the news a lot. I'm across the street from CNN, so they ask me to come comment a lot. And people say, well, that lawyer is always on TV. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, maybe 5% of our cases have ever been in the news. And it's not because we're putting them out there. It's usually to respond to something or to set the record straight. But we have 14 lawyers. And if somebody wants a lawyer that has never been on TV, well, we've got that. And we've got lawyers that specialize in same-sex marriage. We've got lawyers that specialize in business divorces, doctor's divorces. So we sort of have a nice little firm, and it's, you know, I want to say one size fits all, but we only do family law. And
One-stop shop.
Yeah, I don't want to do entertainment law. I'm not good at it. I have a lot of entertainers, and a lot of people say, why don't you just practice entertainment law? You'll make some more money. Well, I'm not good at it. They're coming to me because hopefully they think I'm good at what I do.
Right.
And I don't want to start. And I also want to make sure that if Joe or John or another lawyer refers a case to us, we're not going to then take over and do everything for that client. We can do one thing pretty well, and we're going to try to do that and only that.
Gotcha.
Sure, but I suspect with you as well that, you know, you have clients that are in the public eye that want you to be involved in their other matters, and they want, in other words, yes, you're their domestic lawyer, yes, you represented them in a child support situation or something like that, but they want you on a criminal case to be involved or in the picture because you're their go-to attorney.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an old guy, right? I'm in my 50s now, but I remember I had to learn to text because these guys, they want instant reaction. You know, a lot of the people that are out there, these entertainers, they're used to the people that, you know, everyone wants them and everyone responds to them. You know, there's an old saying about being important. It's not who you can call, it's who would call you back or who would take your call. And so they expect me to take their calls, and I do. And it's nice. And, you know, I've got some voice messages I keep from very, very high profile folks. And it's just fun every now and then when I'm feeling bad and a day's gone wrong in court, I go back and I say, ah, look, that person even thinks I did a good job for them, and it reminds me. So, you become and you have a lifelong bond. And John and Joe, you guys know this. You've represented somebody who's been in the spotlight, and, you know, that's a moment that you don't ever forget. And it's nice to have a few of those moments because what we do, all of us in the room, is not the radio personnel, but the lawyers in the room, it can be very depressing. You are with people at their worst, and it doesn't always go well. So when you have those good moments and you help somebody through it, you got to hang on to those memories.
Absolutely.
I have to ask this question that you wrote for me. Is it as exciting as it seems?
I wrote that for you?
Yes.
You know, it depends on your personality. Some people are not, I don't know why I wrote that.
That's why I asked it.
But there are times when it's exciting. It's not as exciting as it seems. It depends on what it seems like to the average person. But you know, I love meeting somebody who has made something out of their lives, and the whole world wants to know what's it really like to be in a private room talking privately to this person, and I get to be that person. So, yeah, I get a little charge out of that, and that's exciting to me to be able to say, wow, so where did you start? How did you, you know, I get their life story, and everybody's life path is different. You know, I chose my line of work, and one of the reasons I really enjoy it, I couldn't study contracts and just work on the same contract for CNN or IBM or Delta and just review every contract. Every case that comes in is a new jigsaw puzzle, and there are a whole bunch of different facts, and it's going to end up concluding, and it's going to end. You know, my cases, they end. Maybe not all well, but they end, and I get to move on. So I'm not stuck in the same situation for 20 years dealing with the same client. So, you know, we move on. We try to learn from our mistakes, and we go on, and we do another case, and hopefully we get better, and that's why they call it practice.
Right.
And, you know, I've been doing it over 25 years, and I still call it practice. There are, you know, always things that I look back and say, I could do better and better and better. And the hard part's when you think about retirement, you know, when you get to that point where you think you're really good, you know, why retire then?
Right. Right. Well, you're having a good time, it sounds like.
Like Jana said, I have a passion for this, and it really, I'm lucky. And it's not any kind of immediate gratification. Nobody comes up to me, and I say this all the time, but nobody gives me a high five and says, that was a great divorce. Give me another one. You know?
That's a good point.
But 3 or 4 years later, when I see somebody and they're doing good and I see them holding their kid's hand and they're happy in the park or at the game, it's nice to know that they were at a downtime and I did something to help them a little bit, and they're doing better, and they're back on track, and that feels good.
Yeah. Well, all of us do know how to get in touch with you, but Please. If you wouldn't mind repeating that.
All right, well, like they say, I got 15 ways, so how much time do we have?
Yeah.
You can find me on LinkedIn. Just put in my name. You can find me on Twitter, GA Divorce. The book is divorceprotect.com. AtlantaDivorceLawyer.com is probably the best way to find us. But really, just Google Randy Kessler and you'll find us.
I'm
or
sure.
Or again, AtlantaDivorceLawyer.com if you're in your car driving.
You can just email Bravo and they'll
get There you go. Thanks, Joe.
Awesome. So we can actually now open it up to the roundtable discussion on just talk a little more about representing high-profile clients.
So sure.
Go for it.
Well, I think, you know, there's so many variables that are associated with it, and there's so many aspects to it that are not, you know, in the ordinary, you know, calculation on a regular criminal matter or a regular domestic matter. In other words, you've got to be mindful of so many things that pertain to these types of clients that don't pertain to other clients. But you also have to not ever relinquish your role. And so for me, it's really about, you know, really maintaining my role as a criminal defense lawyer for that client. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of the current situation that I'm involved in, which we can't really get into, most of the ones that I've had the privilege of being involved in have all been relatively minor matters, but they're relatively minor to someone like me or to someone, a general member of society, even if it was somebody who had, you know, some presence and, you know, owned a business or was a teacher or a pilot or something where it could stand to affect their life in many ways. Mm-hmm. But in addition, when you're dealing with a, you know, a member of the public eye or the celebrity type clients, there's that added layer of concern that deals with, you know, Jonna said persona, et cetera. It's really about the public's perception of the situation. And so now, instead of just wearing a criminal defense hat where I'm trying to represent my client's interests and do damage control on the criminal matter, you know, now I'm having to kind of very early on in the case focus on the things that are out there that are ancillary to it, that are unique to a celebrity client, where, you know, there's press going on, mm-hmm. and there's judgment essentially that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're having to do damage control. I mean, a lot of times, I'd like to kind of hear from John and Randy about this as well, but a lot of times you have different personnel in that person's life wearing different hats, and each one of those persons essentially has a different role. Mm-hmm. And you know, but the thing is, as a criminal defense lawyer, I really have to manage my role. And to be honest with you, it sounds arrogant, but you know, and we talked about this on the panel in Jamaica as well, but in my opinion, when it comes to a criminal case, it's really about taking control, because frankly, those other persons are important and their function is important. But at the end of the day, maintaining the integrity of that case and that mm-hmm. defense is primary above everything else. So
Joe's protecting their life, liberty. I mean, mm-hmm. they may be put to death if they do something wrong. You know, Joe's got the ultimate responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I think for me, it is about juggling that and about, you know, listening to what these other, I mean, recently I had a household name client who, the PR person or publicity person, had a game plan and an approach that she deemed to be appropriate for the client in terms of managing that client's reputation in society. But it wasn't in sync with what I needed to do to preserve the integrity of the defense. You know, I mean, I always use Reese Witherspoon, right? I always use her example because it's a perfect example of a situation where they are in sync, okay? In mm-hmm. other words, Reese Witherspoon, the way I understand it, she pled that case out or took responsibility for that case within days, if not maybe a couple weeks of the incident. That was perfect because it was a minor occurrence. It was really insignificant, but mm-hmm. in the public eye,
it's huge.
It was huge. Yeah. And you know, she was on video, so there were some things there that were embarrassing. But what did she do? She went to the public and said, I did this. I was totally irresponsible. I acted like a fool. And then she also took responsibility very, very quickly, which in a criminal setting is sometimes hard to do.
Yeah.
She took responsibility for those acts. And she could do that because it's not like she was looking at jail time or anything like that, whether she was famous or not famous. Mm-hmm. So the point is that was handled. There was some sync going on there.
Yeah.
John, you had something you were going to interject.
Well, just back to maintaining that control so as to preserve the defense. You have to get to these handlers and let them know that that client is answering to you. You have to be able to get in touch with them. They want to be in control of everything. They want their, you know, that's what they're used to, as Randy was, you know, sort of describing earlier. And especially with a criminal defense matter, you know, it's not just the defense lawyer, it's the judge. And I've had clients they're so in control of everything that they do that, you know, they may put something on their website attacking the judge specifically.
Oh, that's nice.
And basically their fans are so in love with them.
Right.
And just so rabid that they'll go after the judge. They'll make calls to the judge, and it just really impacts, you know, everything in that case. And you just have to be able to have a handle on that very much from the get-go. But sometimes you have to peel through layers and layers and layers to actually get to your client.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a very unique situation, you know,
yeah,
with a celebrity as opposed to just someone.
All I'm hearing is pressure. It is a lot more pressure.
Well, our jobs, nobody comes to us because they're happy, first of all. So we're getting everybody's, you know.
And to follow up on what Joe was saying about, mm-hmm, you know, being in the press and talking about this stuff and getting a handle on it. I mean, our biggest job sometimes is just saying no. And if you think about it, an easy analogy is, you know, anybody buy an iPhone recently and there are glitches in the software and they have to update the software. You don't think Apple beta tests their program thousands and thousands of times and there's still problems. So when you make a statement, you got to think long and hard about what's going to happen. And it's interesting to see Josie come in, and I'm sure he's going to talk about this. You know, a lot of lawyers just react publicly, and a lot of clients do. They just react to what's being said against them. And you got to think about it. If you're going to go to the press, it's got to be careful. And Joe and I know this a lot recently. If you say something, you've probably been asked 1,000 times for a comment, and you're making one comment. You know, a lot of people perceive it as, oh, the people are talking to the press, talking to the media. You know, you'll see the good lawyers, they'll make one comment, and they won't say anything else. And it may be a few days, maybe a few months, maybe a few weeks, but they won't have 15 different comments. There are 15 different media outlets calling them, and they all want an exclusive, and they all want a private statement that they can say, he said this to NBC only, or he said this to CBS only. Mm. But you'll see the good lawyers, they work, and they may work with someone like Josie, and they'll have one statement that's well thought out, well considered, and you stick to it. I mean, Johnny Cochran won, because if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, and he stuck with it.
Right. Well, I mean, the problem is if you take that approach where you're defending your client with the press early on in the case, then you may be jeopardizing your ability to defend the client, right, at least in a criminal perspective or even a domestic matter down the road. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to Josie about this because he just stepped in. Yeah. Josie Cruz, who is a great, great publicity, media relations.
Sorry for my late arrival. The traffic is kind of like the media. You can't really, you know, figure it out sometimes and control it.
But one thing is that's unique to these clients is that the damage in some respects is done at the beginning of the matter. In other words, even if I'm representing not a quote unquote high profile client, but a high risk client, somebody, let's say a CEO of a company or a politician, mm-hmm, something like that. Maybe not a politician, somebody that's not in the public eye but has some level of you know, importance or seniority. That person, the end result is what's most important. I mean, there's no damage there may be some ancillary damage at the beginning, but the conviction is really what we're concerned about. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a celebrity client, because of the press and because of the coverage, the damage is done to that person's reputation very early on in the case. Mm-hmm. So you find yourself sort of, you know, trying to juggle that. And obviously for me, you know, when we talked about, you know, I've in the past, I've had matters where there've been PR personalities involved or management or, you know, business management for those clients who have different objectives. And, you know, we have competing objectives. They want to go out there and they want to kind of you know, calm down the fire and kind of address the public in the way they seem they deem to be appropriate.
Right.
Whereas, of course, for me, again, it's about preserving the integrity of that person's defense. Josie, and this is a great little segue here to introduce Josie, but Josie is even kind of more, he's the same role, but the difference is it's on the criminal defense side of the table, mm-hmm. where it's about helping me deal with the public and do damage control, but in a way that preserves the integrity of a jury pool. And and that's so valuable. I can't even you can't imagine how necessary that is in a situation where you have a client in the public eye, and eventually at some point, maybe not, but maybe at some point you're picking a jury, and you know, we want to know what's been done to taint that jury. And certainly, you know, if everybody in the country knows about a certain situation, then we want that knowledge to be favorable, at least towards our client. Josie, introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm actually a former producer for Good Morning America and CNN. I spent about 7 years, 3 years at GMA, about 4 years at CNN. During that time, my role was more of a you know, crime producer. So I worked on a lot of the high-profile trials, doing the coverage, doing the bookings for it,
awesome.
Gathering up the interviews, gathering up the elements to it. So I really understand what the media is looking at when, you know, they're looking at a criminal case. So I kind of segued that into a business about a year ago, and now I strictly do PR for attorneys, both civil and criminal. So
that is so interesting.
You know, it was interesting
it's
when
such
I
such a niche. Sorry.
So I talked to Josie about it, and it's interesting because most people think PR means you want to get PR for your client. That's
right.
What a PR person's job is, to get, you know, some publicity. And Josie, you know, is the exact opposite. This is, you know, if there's going to be publicity, let's manage it. Let's make sure it's either reduced or minimal, or it's good, or how do we respond? And it's not what I do. It's not what Joe does. It's not what Jana does. So it's good to have somebody that's been there. You know, it's the same thing as when they refer a domestic case to me because they don't do domestic, or I refer criminal or entertainment to them. Same thing. We are not PR people. You know, we have to learn a little bit, but thank goodness, you know, there are people like Josie out there that can help.
I think, Josie, what makes you, I mean, unique in that sense, and what makes you so valuable is not just the experience with the journalistic side of things, but also your you know who the players are. I mean, and you, then that's a big part of it, because with the press, it's all about trust and relationships. Is that correct?
I mean, yeah, exactly. I can pretty much look through my Rolodex and call up anybody in any network and talk to the top person. So that actually helps, you know, clients in this situation, because I can call up NBC News, I can call up ABC News and say, look, I want to talk to you off the record. You know, mm-hmm. please stop reporting this. You know, maybe later on we can change, you know, I could give you an exclusive statement, you know, or we can work with you. But, you know, let's try to mold it a little bit better. And so I think that helps. I think that helps out for a lot of clients.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Part of the reason is that because that relationship with you is important to them for other matters, other situations down the road.
Right.
And they know that, you know, obviously if they violate that relationship or the trust in any sense, it's going to affect them down the road in terms of, you know, coverage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most all of my clients who I work with, you know, at some point they are going to be able to talk to the media. So, you know, even if it's not immediate, we can work on a game plan maybe after trial, right before trial, if it's going to help with a jury pool. And, you know, networks understand that there may be, the potential to get someone for an exclusive interview. So they kind of work, you know, in a way that, you know, you can kind of mold the message and you have more control of it.
Can I throw out a quick compliment to Josie? I met Josie when he was actually a producer. He was over at CNN Headline News, and he actually booked me a few times to be on some of their shows and talk about some cases. And Josie had a dream, and he said, this is what I want to do. I want to be on the other side. I want to be independent. I want to create my own. And he's done it, you know, and it's just, you know, whether it's in law or PR or business radio and creating a great, you know, situation for lawyers in Atlanta to be on, whatever it is, you know, it's just nice. And congratulations, Josie.
Yeah, I agree, Josie. Thank you. Really appreciate you greatly. I mean, that's a void that needed to be filled. You know, again, when I'm dealing with the PR, I mean, like you said, Randy, when you're talking about it being, well, you want to send to the public this great kind of image of your client. Well, that's, again, when I'm dealing with that client's manager or their PR, their publicity rep, that's what that person is interested in. But what was missing is someone in my corner who is basically, you know, on the same, with the same focus of ultimately protecting that client if and when that matter gets litigated. And that is such a vital role, Josie. And you know, I see that, you know, in particularly cases where they're in the, even if they're not high profile clients, high profile cases, where there's a need for that, you know, that intervention, so to speak.
I think maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, there, you know, maybe wasn't as much of a need. But now that we have social media and people are out there commenting, and there's comment sections on blogs, there's comment sections on news stations, on everything, I think really, you know, interacting with the media has to be so much more strategic now, because, you know, everybody's on social media. So, you know, if you have a super big high profile case, you know, and you're wanting to protect the integrity of a jury pool, it's just really hard because of social media. So, you know, say a big high profile case here in Atlanta, you know, it's getting talked about on the radio, it's getting talked about, you know, in television, but even more so, it's getting talked about in social media. Mm-hmm. So the ability to protect a jury pool, you know, is so important there, because, you know, it's social media is completely changing the way a jury is picked now. You know, right. Everyone's exposed to it. Everybody's exposed to a story.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like there's such a talent in what you're doing that it's really a natural thing more than kind of fell into it.
Yeah, I kind of fell into it. You know what? A year ago, I saw a need for it. I was working the George Zimmerman trial, and just all the outlets out there and how, you know, Mark O'Meara was handling his press. I looked back, I worked on the Casey Anthony trial. I saw how Jose Baez, you know, worked his press. And I really, you know, there was no spokesperson for those guys who was advising them and being very strategic about it. You know, your practice is all, you know, in law. You're an expert in law. I'm an expert in media. So there really wasn't a person out there helping these guys. You know, and at the end of the day, the only thing I care about and the only thing Joe cares about and Randy is jury, you know, how the jury's going to react.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I care about my client too.
But that is caring about your client. How the jury's going to feel about your client.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. And you know, there's only, you know, the whole thing is about exercising control over a situation to the extent that you can. But like Randy said, I mean, you learn something every time. And at the end, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times you come away feeling like there's only so much control that you can exercise over your client.
Well, right. The theme of this show this morning is high profile clients. So if there's a class of individuals that is hard to control or have them follow your instructions, it's people that are used to controlling their own destiny, and they get to where they are because they've made decisions. They've told people, this is what I want to do. I want to buck the trend. Can you imagine telling Donald Trump what to do?
Sure.
You
know, I mean, it's,
he controls his own destiny.
Right. Well, but the position you have to take is, you've hired me, you've put me in charge. You know, for me, it's on a criminal matter. You've put me in charge of damage control. You've put me in charge of trying to make this go away for you. Then you need to defer to me, and you need to trust me, and you need to put your faith in me, because ultimately, I'm the one really kind of wearing the hat here. I mean, it sounds arrogant, but a lot of these people kind of, you need to take that approach.
Is it hard to withdraw from a criminal case? And have you ever done that when a client wouldn't take your advice?
Well, sure. I mean, there are formalities involved, but at the end of the day, I think that, you know, that's, if the client is going to testify to that, it, you know, if you have a hearing on a motion to withdraw, on an opposed motion to withdraw, and the client ultimately agrees that they are not following your advice, then I don't think any judge is going to have a hard time signing off on that.
But you've done that, right?
I've had to, you know, I've had to, and it's, thankfully it hasn't been on any high profile matters, but, you know, for me, and this is kind of, I brought this up with you earlier about the circle. A lot of these clients have referred other high profile clients. Right. And the reason isn't the result. I strongly believe that the success of my practice isn't just results based. It's based on the fact that I've returned that person's calls. I've really shown a great deal of sincere concern for that client's situation. And these clients in that circle, and I've never sort of crossed the line with the high profile clients and, you know, made it about being a fan or anything like that. I mean, in other words, I've treated them like regular people. And they have come away very thankful. And then they're sending another client that's in a similar situation and saying, hey, Joe, you know, managed this situation for me and did it in a way with integrity. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I'm proud of that. I mean, that these clients are referring other similarly situated clients because of the fact that, you know, I handle their matter in a certain way, not just the result.
I can imagine that's the same for you, Josie, when you started working with attorneys, the circle. No. It's very easy, I've learned, having the show, to get into the attorney world. And once you're good with, you know, working with one or two of them, they're going to refer you to other people. So how has that worked out for you?
It's actually worked out pretty good. So at the very beginning, it was really hard to kind of break into this. So I had to do a lot of cold calling. You know, what I would do was I would go to Facebook. I would go to the Daily Mail every morning. I would go to CNN.com. I would see what stories were trending. And if there was a big story out there that involved a criminal case, I would just call the attorney. I'd send him an email and say, hey, look, you know, this is what I'm doing now. You know, there's a need for it. You know, could you use me? Gave them kind of what my history was. So initially, you know, what I used was the same technique that I used when I was at CNN and in GMA was, you know, reaching out to an attorney saying, hey, you know, would you like to do the first interview with us? You know, could you give us a little bit more info? Right. You know, so I just kind of flipped that and, you know, but it kind of it snowballs. So, you know, you start getting referrals. I mean, I do zero advertisement. It's just, you know, referral based. So.
Sounds like he needs a radio show. Awesome, awesome. Any other final comments?
Yeah, how do we get in touch with you, Josie?
Yes.
You can always shoot me over an email. It's Josie, Josey, at josieagency.com. And you can also find my contact phone number at thejosieagency.com.
Awesome, awesome.
I want to compliment Alvaro and 3A Law Management. He is a friend, and he's helping lawyers figure out how to practice law and how to do the things that they don't know how to do. We know how to try cases. We know how to defend people, but we're not good at building our business or managing our companies. And he's a good sponsor for you guys to have. He's a lawyer's friend.
He gave you $50 too?
No.
Hey, I agree though. I've seen him, you know, I haven't used Alvaro in that capacity, but I've gotten to know him over the years. I have a lot of respect for him, and I've seen him completely transform law firms. From, you know, the lawyers were talented and they had tons of potential, but he's literally organized the firm. He's put in software. He's hired individuals to come in and take over. And I can't say enough positive things about Alvaro.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, he actually saw me with all of his clients around the table, and that's how he reached out to me. He said, who's this chick with all these attorneys around the table?
See, he did what Josie did. I think Joe and I both owe Jana and Daryl big thank you because they get us invited to this entertainment law seminar in the Caribbean every year, which is wonderful. It's always at a great location. It's the top end, you know, entertainment lawyers and people from across the country or across the world. And we've been serving on a panel together, Jana, Joe and I, for a few years. And it's we always
Alvaro mentioned that yesterday. He said, he said, definitely he bring that out. Yeah.
Alvaro was on a panel at the program last year too. he did a great job.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, that, I guess, wraps it up here. And I guess we can go around the table one more time and just say the name and company and just one way of reaching you.
Okay. Joe Habachi, Joe Habachi Attorney at Law. And you can reach me at habachilaw.com, H-A-B-A-C-H-Y.
Thank you.
Jonna Lee with Cohen Cooper East Epp and Allen. And you can reach me at jlee@ccealaw.com.
Jesse Cruz, and you can reach me at thejosieagency.com.
And Randy Kessler, AtlantaDivorceLawyer.com or DivorceProtect.com.
Thank you so much. And thanks to the listeners for tuning in or clicking on my radio button online. Again, this show has been brought to you by 3A Law Practice Management and Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere. My name is Emily Rowell, and I'm with Peachtree Offices. And that about wraps it up.